Lord, you are. Key of F. Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds, and nothing I desire compares to you. Sing it unto him once again. Oh Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds, and nothing I desire compares to you. I think we can sing that to him one more time. Oh Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Oh Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds, and nothing I desire compares to you. Amen. Amen. Let's sing Victory Is Mine. Let's stand to our feet. Key of F. I'll invite Brother Wade to come out on, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Victory is mine. How many have the victory? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. Oh, I told Satan, get thee behind. Oh, victory today is mine. Oh, when I woke this morning, I didn't have no doubt. I knew that the Lord would bring me out. So I got down on my knees and I said, Lord, help me please. Then I got up singing, shouting victory. Oh, victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today it is mine. Oh, I told Satan to just get thee behind. Oh, victory today is mine. Let's sing it like this.
Oh, victory is mine. Oh, victory is mine. Victory today is mine.
And I told that sleepy spirit.
Oh, I told that sleepy spirit to get thee behind. Oh, victory today is mine.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We have the victory.
Do we not?
Oh, it's in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, demons will have to flee. For when we come in the name of Jesus, tell me who can stand before.
Oh, in the precious name of Jesus,
we have the victory.
And victory is mine.
We gotta have
victory
a little liberty today.
Is mine. Victory.
Shake off those bands. Praise
mine.
God.
Just get thee behind. Oh, come victory, victory today is mine.
Amen. Victory is mine. That's a claim. That's a claim that you got to claim for your own self. That victory is mine. Victory is mine. Thank God for the victor. He's already won. He's already fought our battles. We just got to realize it. That he's on the throne. He's already conquered death, hell, and the grave. And all we got to do is believe that he's now living inside of us and let him do that same work. Amen. You love the Lord? It's good to be here again. By way of announcements real quick, Brother Bob will be preaching Wednesday night. Brother Richard Hyatt will be here this coming weekend. Remember next weekend that you have a meeting over here on Saturday with the all the technicians, and they're going to be pulling the stuff through the walls, and just pray for them that everything goes right and that they will not fall through the roof. Amen. So that will be next weekend. Also, the musicians and song leaders next Sunday. Right, Trudy? Next Sunday? Next Sunday, you need to all get together and meet for songs that for the youth bank, for the youth thing? For what? For the Easter meeting. We're already beginning to get some songs ready for the Easter meeting, Sister Trudy and the different ones, but all musicians and song leaders next Sunday afternoon. She wasn't very clear after that about this, but after second service, everybody meet after second service. What birthday party? Sarah's going. We will not forget you. We will have cake and ice cream first. Then the musicians will come up here and the song leaders and figure out some stuff for that. April weekend is going to be three services, so they're going to get some songs ready. Also, we're going to start back. We've kind of been a little, not lax, but we've had stuff to do on the weekends, a Bible study. So starting March the 5th, we're starting back with our Bible study on Saturday night, 6 to 8, like we always done. You're welcome to come. We just have popcorn and stuff and talk about the Lord and answer a lot of questions and create a lot of questions. So God said he'd answer them. But March the 5th, March the 19th, we'll have a youth service starting at 3 o'clock. Brother Matt Watkins will be with us for that weekend. And then the Sunday of March 19th, we will have one service with him here. And then April the 15th, 16th, and 17th, we'll have three services. Friday night at 7 o'clock. Saturday at 3 o'clock, which will be a fellowship meeting. I'm going to send a invitation out to all the old ones that were in the fellowship meeting before. Brother Kershane, Brother J.T. Paget, and Brother Homer will be here. And then some of the other ones. Also, Sunday, Brother Mike Oltig will be preaching that day, one service, on Easter Sunday. But Brother Joe Canada is working on, if you'll go to our website, he's not got it done yet, I don't think. But he's going to be posting calendars at the very front of upcoming events. And then you won't have an excuse to say you didn't tell me that after I tell you 13 or 14 times. But it takes 15 times for everybody to understand it, so. So I'm starting. I've got three down so far. So God bless you. Just pray for the services. And like I said before, the Easter weekend, I wish all of you would be here to support. We'll have a meal on Saturday, and that will also be Dad's birthday. And we'll have a birthday party for him with cake and ice cream along with a meal. So that will be his 82nd birthday. 83rd? Second. You were born in 1940. Just, yeah, 82nd. He'll be there. He'll be here. We'll show up. We're coming. We'll have 80-something candles on that thing and cause a fire downstairs. So we'll just get the 8 and the 2, and that'll help with the fire code. So just remember that. I want to read you something real quick before we start. This is in a resume of the church ages. I was just thinking about some things that I said this morning. Brother Brown tells us, he says, he's talking about denominations, Protestants, Nicolaitanism, humanizing the leadership of the church, and deposing the spirit. He says, you see, they are ignorant. But if the rapture should take place at this moment, ignorance would be no court of appeal. Listen. Ignorance would be no court of appeal from the judgment of God for being in the wrong ranks. One more time. You see, they are ignorant. But if the rapture should take place at this moment, now that's 1960-something, one or two, ignorance would be no court of appeal from the judgment of God for being in the wrong ranks. You believe Brother Brown was a prophet? Okay, then you got to believe what he said. All right, so let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you give us. We pray now that you would help us in this journey, Lord. We know one thing's for sure, that the battle's going to get harder, but the victory's also sweeter. Victory is mine through Jesus Christ and no one else. We're not preaching that we're going to be so great. Lord, you know we're trying to get the people to see how great you are. And how great you are that you've decided to live in a group of people called your bride. And that you are going to manifest yourself just like you did 2,000 years ago walking on the earth. In just one man, you're going to do it in thousands of bride around the world. And Lord, we are looking for that time. We appreciate you sending us a prophet, Lord. Without him, we couldn't say these things. And Lord, at this quote here, Lord, it just rings in my heart that if we're going to need to get on the bus, we need to be at the bus station. We need to be there and ready to go. Father, I pray that you would help us to do that, Lord. I believe you have given us a roadmap. I believe you have given us a GPS, God's predestinated seed. Lord, I believe you give us that. That it'll take us if we'll just let it out and let it work. Father, we pray that you be with us in furtherment of service. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I read a book one time, and I cannot remember the name of it. I think I still have it in my little library over there. It was something maybe Dave Ramsey gave to me, but it was a book that a man wrote. He said, you know, he said, anything you do is kind of like a bus. You can be on the right bus. You can be going in the right direction. You can have the motor running, but the wrong person in the driver's seat. And the wrong position of the people in the bus. Right people, right bus, motor running, right direction, but you're not in your position. That's what we're going to talk about today, being in position. Amen? You get on the bus, you've got people that sit in the front, you've got people sitting in the back, you got people that are tour guides, you got people that are this, that are that, different ones. If you had the tour guide, which may be blind, driving the bus, disaster. But if you put everybody in their right place, that's why I read that about the wrong ranks. Being in the wrong ranks at the time of the rapture is no excuse. Amen. Brother Dale's quoted that 1,000 times, and I tried to look it up the way I just quoted it, and it ain't quoted that way. It's quoted like this right here. But it's the same thing, paraphrasing, being in the wrong ranks of the rapture is no excuse. But there's no court of appeal, Brother Ram said, if you are in the wrong ranks at the time of the rapture. Amen. So let's just pray that we'll get to that. I don't discount anybody. If you want to discount yourself, that's fine, but I don't discount anybody. I think we're all going to make it. I think we've all got a position to fulfill too. Right? Amen? When the bride realizes who she is and what she's doing here, she'll be an invincible army. I believe we're getting to that place, to understanding who we are and what we're doing here. Amen? Let's go to John 1:1-14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Come on, Levi. Levi. Something wrong with it? Uh-oh. Malfunction. We have become Malfunction Junction here the past couple of weeks. Y'all need to pray for this internet thing. We good? Oh, you got to turn the thing on. Okay. All right. Well, we can. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You may be seated, and the Lord adds blessing to the reading of the Word. And we were talking this morning. Therefore, when He cometh into the world, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. And look, this body has to be, Brother Branham tells us many times that we can be, that we can have the Word, and we're talking about the bus, we can have the Word, and we can dislocate it, we can misplace it, but it be the Word. Cause listen, truly the denominations or the world that preaches a Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism is true. Jesus said. And that's the way we baptize. We baptize according to Jesus telling the disciples, you'll hear it when we baptize people, in accordance with Jesus telling the apostles to go into all the world, preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. I now baptize you, my brother or sister, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we're doing exactly what God told us to do. We know what the Father is, we know what the Son is, we know what the Holy Ghost is, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. But to fulfill that scripture, He did. Listen, the problem with us as message believers, sometimes when we see a false doctrine or we see the denominations preach that and take that Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism, we say, oh, well, there's something wrong with that scripture. It's just not right. No, it's exactly what it said. Please, let's don't dislocate that scripture. Well, the denominations take this scripture, but we take this one. No, you can't fight scripture with scripture. They either both right or both wrong. All right? So that's the same way with what we see now. The body thou hast prepared me. Go to Hebrews 10. But a body hast thou prepared me. Now you've got to decide whether you're in the body, but God is going to build a body. He's going to have a bride on the earth in the end time that's not going to be at the wrong ranks. They're going to know who they are and what they're doing here. All right, now that's a promise. Everybody believe Brother Brown was a prophet? Okay, all right, then we got to understand what he's saying. Let's go to Ephesians 5, verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife. And I'm going to try to fly through this because we went through it this morning. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Now remember, there was a bridegroom. Listen to me just a minute. There was a bridegroom that came to the Old Testament. Hello? To marry his first bride, Israel. Amen? You see in many scriptures in the Old Testament of the voice of the bride and the voice of the bridegroom is not heard in her anymore. Why? It's left. There's only one bride, and this is the end time people who we are that's alive. Now, there's bride down through the church ages. We know that. But this group of people is supposed to hear from the bridegroom and then make him manifest. Because it took a prophet to tell us that the scriptures that spoke of the bridegroom also speaks of the bride. So whatever the bridegroom gets, we're heirs and joint heirs with Christ. It took a prophet to tell us that. Amen? And the prophet told us, he said, look, husbands, you're the head of your wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Now, how did that happen? How'd that happen? Before the fall, they were co-equal. Before the fall, Eve's headship was Christ. Or the Father, whoever you want to say. The one that came down to cool the day and talked to both of them equally. He didn't have any secrets for the Adam and no. The one that had the secret was the serpent and he got involved in between them and that's what caused the problem. But remember, they were co-equal. That's why Paul could tell us in Romans that we're heirs and joint heirs with Christ. In other words, he has restored us back to full fellowship, bride and bridegroom one. But now since what happened with the fall, the husband has to be the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, men. Let's don't drag our wives around by the hair with a club on her back and drag them into the cave. Unless you want God to grab you by the hair and drag you into the cave. Amen? But that's the order that we got to go in. I want you to listen to this because we're going to go all the way to the very end. And I want you to look at something here. I think I brought it. Yes. All right, so the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of this body that he is building. All right, everybody got that? All right, so let's go now to Colossians 1:18. For he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and all things he might have the preeminence. And I read you what that brother Russ was talking about this morning. Do we give him preeminence? Listen, there's nothing wrong with going on vacation. There's nothing wrong with making money. There's nothing wrong with having a nice house. But if you put that before God, and if you say that is my success is because, you understand what I'm saying? Listen, there's a lot of dirt, filthy people, filthy rich people in this world that are horrible. Why they say filthy rich? Why they say filthy rich? But there is. That's going to hell, and if they don't give their life to God, they're going to bust hell wide open. And have billions and billions of dollars. Why? They didn't put God first. But then you got somebody that I believe, like Stuart Cathy, the Chick-fil-A founder. We ain't working on Sunday. We're going to do more business on Monday through Saturday than McDonald's does 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And they passed that just a few years ago. In 6 days. They do. And if you ever been, listen, me and June grew up working for McDonald's. But you look at the people they hire at Chick-fil-A and you look at the people they hire at McDonald's. Those Chick-fil-A people are nice. You have a good experience when you go there. I don't care if the drive-thru at McDonald's, if it's, y'all quit laughing. The drive-thru at McDonald's can be lined out into the street and they'd be cussing and fussing. Chick-fil-A, the lines will be wrapped around the building and out into the street, and they're like just as happy as they can be. And you know what? That makes you happy.
Yeah.
What are you saying, Brother Wade? Listen, Stuart Cathy put God first. Now, he might have not been a message believer. Come on, people. Good grief. There's going to be more people in heaven that don't believe this message than are. There's only a small group of people that knows that God sent a prophet in the end time. Small group compared to 7 billion people in the world. Let's don't turn them out. Let's bring them in. Let's be salty. Because you know what? I like to go to Chick-fil-A. Now, the reason we don't all the time, June don't like their french fries. But I do. So, I bow to her every once in a while and we go somewhere else. But I eat Chick-fil-A all the time. Why? It's a good experience. Good food, good experience. And I'm not just when I get finished and look at one of McDonald's 5 minutes in the drive-thru and hadn't got your order yet. It makes you a little bit upset. Oh, temperance. Temperance. And you can wipe brotherly kindness out. You got to have temperance first. I'm just saying, we ought to be able to, even in our life, to look and see who has lived a godly life and how their economy, their children, all different ones. I mean, we got some of this, but you take most people that try their best to live a Christian life, and God will bless them. Remember, tithing is not just for the bride. And the pour out the windows of heaven is not just for the bride. The pour out the windows of heaven is for everybody. Now, you may not go to heaven, but you sure will be blessed. If you're not born again, you're not going to heaven. I don't care if you pay 90%. But see, the right ranks, the right order. If you go the right order, everything will work out. I'll promise you, you can tell when people don't pay tithes. It don't take Brother Branham to be here to be a prophet to discern who pays tithes and who don't. So don't think you're hiding anything. And I don't look at the tithe book. It ain't none of my business. Really ain't nobody's business. Just saying. But he's the head of the body of the church, who's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things he might have the preeminence. That's where we got to in preeminence. But if we don't see, though, if we give him the preeminence, what are we doing with it after that? Turn it over to God and then take it back away from him? How many times have you turned your children over to God? Come on, people. Raise your hand. Everybody, every parent in this room, raise your hand. You've given them over to God and then you took them back. That's just human. Brother Brown said, turn them over to God and let them go. Let them go. Regardless, I told my, you know, my kids are not here today, but I said, God save their soul. I don't care if they're laying dead, almost dead in the street. Give them time to repent. Give them time to repent. Because you know what? I want to see them for an eternity. If you don't have a desire to see your kids for 15 minutes while we're on this side, I don't know why I'm doing this. But really, if your kids ignore, I mean, never mind. Anyway, what's going to happen over yonder? Come on now, really? Same way with me. Y'all got to have somehow in this world, y'all got to learn to love me. You got to find a way. Because I know you do. I'm just kidding. We all got the Holy Ghost. What? And we all have our little quirks like we was talking about this morning, but y'all want me to read that thing I got in my billfold again? Oh, let me read. Oh, nobody. These brother, potato over there ain't ready. Favorite quote. Listen, you hear me? You take this back to Idaho, but you need to come back here. We love you, man. You did a good job. That this morning was heartfelt. That was good. Some people will never like you because your spirit irritates their demons. Let me read that one more time. Some people will never like you because your spirit irritates their demons. I'm glad we're family. But we do have family arguments every once in a while, so it's okay. But he's the head of the body of the church. But listen, we gotta have headship. We've gotta have somebody to lead us. That's what God said. It's not something I did. It's something God did. God said, you gotta have apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. Oh, Sister Lily, you weren't in when I read that. Let me read it again. Go ahead. You've heard it before. About irritating demons. Yeah. I'm glad we got some. Say yes. Please say yes. They all said, please say yes. Let's get on with this. For he's the head of the body of the church, who's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Let's go to Romans 8, verse 14. We're going to enter into that. We'll probably do this next Sunday, or Sunday after next. Let's talk about Romans, because as Brother Bob's preaching on three stages of grace, there's three stages of adoption. Brother Dale's preached on it many, many times, but we've got some newer ones in here, and we want to bring it out again. There's definitely, according to Romans, if you'll read Romans 8, read the whole chapter, that just really gives you the whole walk of a Christian. Even if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he'll also quicken your mortal body. Hold on a minute. Your mortal body. By his spirit that dwelleth in you. So let's Romans 8:14. For as many are led by the spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now that's your born again experience. That starts in verse 14 and it continues on. We'll not read all of it. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again. Listen, you're in bondage, as we were talking about this morning, you're in bondage by the law. The law will bind you. Grace will set you free. Amen. Grace will set you free. That's why the headstone comes in Zerubbabel. It's crying what? Not just grace. Grace, grace unto it. Double grace is what we're going to have to get out of here. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Daddy, Daddy. And that's the way you get started in your journey. You become a Christian. If you ever remember, you ought to remember, you ought to just let that run through your mind. Maybe it'll keep you awake. Run through your mind of how you got started. And how when I was a Christian, a young Christian there in 99, and received the Holy Ghost there in Kentucky, come back here and then started opening services like Terrence does, and I started doing Bible study or Sunday school class, and then God called me to preach. But I can see myself going through that I needed something. Regina, I just ask, and God would give it to me. First 6-8 months, maybe a year, I'd ask things, and he'd just silver platter. Why? Because I was a baby. I needed child training, though, but at that moment, you don't spank a child when they're 3 months old. if they don't know what they're doing wrong. They're not going to process. But as they get older, yeah. And that nerve in that rear end goes all the way to the brain. Some of them, not so much. But that's what God did for me. I don't know if he did that for you, but now? Where are you, Lord? Them last three things I asked, I ain't got no email, no text, nothing. Amen? Why? Grow up, baby. Grow up, baby. I don't have to go crying to mom and dad and say, oh, mom and dad, I'm having a rough time. I'm having a rough time. You know what they tell me? Go back home. You chose this road. You live it. That's the way God is, folks. For us to see what God does to us is to see what you're doing in your life. And you know more than anybody else how you and God deal with each other. Hello? You know. Because you either take the devil with you all the time or you take God with you all the time. And you know that. Now there is times where you do. It's like Brother Dale said, how many times do you question your new birth? He said, every morning. You do, because you say, man, why did I do that? But there's got to come a time where you put that stake down and say, uh-uh. We're not going back no more. We're going forward. We're on the right bus. We're going in the right direction. We may not know which seat is ours. Not yet, but that's okay. At least we got the bus going in the right direction. And we know we're on the right bus. The right place. But not in the wrong ranks. No excuse, the prophet said. But we receive the spirit of adoption. Listen, when you get born again, you receive the spirit of adoption. Every one of you do. Whether you want to make it or not, whether you want to go up that statue of perfect man. If you're born again today, you're a child of God, just like Brother Branham was a child of God. You got to decide how far you want to grow up. Amen? Because you know what? We baby feed people, babies. Until when? It'd be real strange if we go downstairs between services and Sarah's having to feed Levi mouth, looks like he's doing a pretty good job doing it himself. But wouldn't that not be strange, though, to walk into a room and here's a 16-year-old kid and his mama's spoon-feeding him. And he's going, pfft. Listen, what would you think? It would be something mental. Well, see, I think it's something spiritual. That's the way God will see something spiritual. If he still got to spoon feed you. What? Do like we used to do. Here comes the bus. Open up. Here comes the bus. Now, God will do that for a while. Because he's a good God. But you know, at one time, point in time, he told Moses, he said, look, buddy, grow up. Grow up. Why cry, Moses? Speak and go forward. That's what God's want. He's never had a bride on the earth. Since he came himself, he's never had a bride that could speak the word like this group of people going to be able to speak the word. Cannot. Will not. Because you and I've got a quote in there. I'll bring it next time. Where Brother Brown said, tell me, my brother, my sister, when has God filled a church as he's going to fill in the end time? I said, just for a moment. Just for a moment, the world's going to see another Jesus Christ on the earth. Not just a speaking, but an action. What did the Bible tell us when we get in trouble? What do we do now when we get in trouble? Well, I know what your kids do. You start lying. Just kidding. I'm lying. But the Bible tells us that if you're sent before what? If you're sent before governments, figures, he said, don't even think what you're going to say. Now what's the first thing we do? We start trying to figure that out. Hello? We start going, wait a minute. Oh God. What angle can I take to make that cop just give me a warning ticket? Oh, I tell him I I gotta go. My mother's sick and in the hospital. You gotta start lying. Most of the time, if you'll just tell them the truth, look, I wasn't looking at the speedometer. Sometimes they'll give you that. But anyway, look, with God, it's the same way. We try to get out of stuff. Just admit it. God, I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I'm talking about people who's not born again. Just admit it. Even people who's been in the message 30 years, we ought to sit down one saying, look, God, what's wrong with me? And he's going to say, you're what's wrong with you. I'm not what's wrong with you. You can't blame God for stuff you do. Right? We okay? Can I preach a little bit this afternoon? But he's creating himself a body. So he's always had the right bus. He knew what he was going to have. He was going to have seven church ages with seven stars and seven spirits. Real simple. But the one in the end time is the one that's going to have to be able to drive the bus to where it's going on its destination. And see, you can have all that. Look, you can have all the 50 people. If 50 people are supposed to ride the bus and one guy's supposed to drive it, what if the driver don't show up? Or what if the driver says, I think I'll ride the bus today. The bus ain't going nowhere. He's the driver and he's on the bus. The motor's running. But he says, no, I'm not the driver. I'm this over here. Wrong ranks. But somebody's got to get in and drive that bus. And I'm talking about your bus. I'm talking about you driving your bus with your family and your kids and all the things that you do, all your job and everything. You're the one that's got to take control. Folks, it's got to be. But it's not somebody like Moses to rise up to take us over. Because Moses didn't take us over. Moses died. The prophet of the end time passed away. But he showed us the promised land. He showed us where to go. And then he sent not the third in line or the pot washer or the grave digger. Joshua was his warrior standing right there beside him. And God spoke to Joshua the same as he spoke to Moses, as I was with Moses. So I want to tell you today, just as God was with William Branham, except in the prophetic, him being a seventh messenger. But I thought under the seventh messenger, we were the voice, the final voice of the final age. So he has instilled in us, Joshua, you're going to take them over. We were talking about this today. I've been reading a little book, and it's not a message book. Not a message believer either. But he does a real good job to show how everybody was placed in the land. But do you know some of their land was so big? You know what God told them, though? He said, when you get in this land, you drive every ite out of that land. Kill them all. Drive them out. That's your property. You know what happened? They got lazy. They got lazy, and some of their properties was so big till they didn't drive everybody out. They just said, oh, they're up there in the north part of Gad. We're just going to leave them alone. And you know what? That was their downfall. Every one of them. All them ites. Staying out of church ite. Not reading your Bible ite. Looking at the wrong website. And all them other ites. Amen? That's what's wrong with me. I don't know about y'all. I'm preaching to me today, okay? Y'all can just take it if you need to. If you've already passed all that, you can sleep. But this is for us, people. We got to see who we are and what we're doing here. And who's our leader? Who was the leader? Joshua, but Joshua typed the what? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost placed you. We'll talk about that in a little while. It's placing. That's what we got to come to. We got to come to placing. Right bus, right people, right driver, right mechanic. Everything's got to be exactly right. Because it hasn't been right in the church ages. I read you that quote where the prophet of God said they had just enough to get them saved. Just enough to get them on the bus. Just enough to get them on the bus. But they didn't go anywhere. They didn't know where to go. So an adversary gets on the bus and says, I'm the driver. and takes them to down a false doctrine. Gets on a Baptist bus or a Pentecostal bus or a Branhamite bus, whatever you want to say. I like what Brother Branham said in the rest of this quote. I didn't read it. He said, it's not the people. He said, it's the system. Now listen, can we be in a system? I read you a quote the other day where Brother Branham says, I don't know that we're getting them to Christ. He said, I think we're getting them to an idea, our theology, our terminology. Our terminology is different than the world. Because we don't believe in three gods. We don't believe in water baptism in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Why? Our terminology is different. But if that's just something you do as a ritual, it'll do you no good. That's what'll kill you. That's why Paul said the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. The letter of the law is what killed Israel. But the grace of God got Israel into the promised land. It was grace all the way through. Even when Adam and Eve did what they did, it started grace right there. Actually, grace started before the foundation of the world. God slayed himself, remember? Slayed, lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Everybody all right? But now we've got to come to this. We talk about new creation. I'm going to try to jump through all that. New creation, a new race. You and I are the aliens that the earth has been looking for. Have you ever thought about that? We're supposed to be aliens, right? You know what the Bible says? We're supposed to be aliens. We're not supposed to be like the world. You see all these people, how this superhuman race comes to earth. Becomes Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, all these other people. Women too, Wonder Woman, all that stuff. This is a superhero sitting here. And it's not a comic book. And it's not something you got to put on except Christ. Uniform won't save you, Captain America. Right? They all had a flaw though, remember? But man has took that idea and said, oh, there's a superhuman race. Hitler wasn't far off. But look what he done. He killed 6.8 million human beings. Men, women, and children, just because they were Jews. No other reason. He wasn't mad at one guy because he was this. No, he was mad at the whole race. You know why? Because they had his money. But the mentality was, I'm going to get rid of this race and make me a new one. Well, the quote here says, new creation, new race. How far off was he? If he'd have listened to God, not listened to the devil. He could have been a good preacher. What did Brother Bram say? He wanted to talk to Albert Einstein? See, we had a spiritual Einstein on the earth at the same time natural Einstein was on the earth. Because, you know, by physics and by even by mathematics, Einstein proved that if you could see an infinity, you'd see the back of your head. And that's the truth, because what? Light travels in a circle. Light doesn't travel straight. Light travels in a circle. So when you go so far to infinity and come back, you see the back part of your head. He proved that by what? Mathematics. Brother Brown proved it by spiritual mathematics. He put the word together. He put this word together so me and you would have a less hard time seeing what's going on. Like I said before, if this message is hard, you don't have the Holy Ghost. Out. I'm sorry. I mean, if you say, I cannot understand this, how can God give you something and then not let you to understand, not let you have a something to understand it by? There's a lot of things you can say, look, I don't understand that. But you should never say, I don't believe that. That's the difference. Maybe I'm giving you some life lessons today. You're staying awake a little bit more. Maybe it's okay. We'll talk about life lessons more often. Husbands, love your wives. For you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. That's what the world wants. What's going on in the world today? Everybody's scared of everything. More than ever before. You do that and about 20 people just fall. And they go to doing this, putting that sanitizer up. Man, we used to play outside as kids. Kids that are old as me. We used to play outside and my mama and daddy'd have to They're sitting right there. They'd have to find us. Find us in the woods. Mom would scream, supper! If we were already a mile or two out in the woods, we didn't hear. But you know what? We come home. We come home with tater patches around our neck. Anybody know? Oh, sorry. Not an Idaho tater patch. I love you, man. But we did. Everybody, who knows what a tater patch is? Donnie? Huh? Me? It's that real brown streak that runs around it. What happens is all your sweat. Why I'm doing this, I don't know. All this sweat and dirt collects right here. And you get a tater patch where you can grow taters around your neck if you were to plant them. Now today we sanitize everything. We sanitize our kids. We sanitize everything. We never caught a disease by having a tater patch. What am I saying? Same thing with the gospel. Have we overstepped just the simplicity of the gospel? And thinks this is what we need to do. We need to sanitize everybody. You need to, you know, sneeze into your arms. When they sent that out the other day, well, when it first got started, they sent us a big, you know, I'm a federal employee, so they sent it to us first. Sneeze into your elbow. I want y'all to try that. No, that ain't your elbow, sister. That's your elbow. That's not your elbow. That's your arm. That's your elbow. Sneeze into your elbow. That's why I think the virus kept going. People didn't sneeze in their elbow. But that was instructions. But how insane is that? And how insane is it that us, we want to be so protective? And I know most of you in this room have had the virus before. Some bad case, some not so bad case. But come on. How do these people that stay home never go out and they get the virus? You snuck out and went to Walmart one day, didn't you? Guarantee you. Huh? Think about it. Oh, I'm not going to church because I might get or give. But I got to go to Walmart. I'm just saying. The little things that we do or don't do affects all that. And for God to be effective, it's for us to listen to Him. Now, we said many times before, you know, the virus thing is a lot of it's political, a lot of it's, well, you know my stand on it. I took one of the shots and I've been crazy ever since. My body has. My body! Not my brain. But some of you did and some of you didn't, and that's okay. You do whatever you want to do. But what I'm saying is when are we going to just quit crying? When are we going to quit crying? Say, God, I've had enough of this. I'm going to church. Because remember what I just read you a couple of days ago, that the more you stay out of church, the more you don't want to go. That's what it is. It's the repetition that you get in, that God wants you to get into that repetition of going to church. And then if you cut that repetition out, look, some people disappear and you never see them again. Just saying. But we have an adversary, folks, that he's very, very smart. He's very, very smart. He actually is going to take this whole world and deceive them. One man is going to deceive the whole world except the bride. And when we leave, he's got 100%. He's going to take 100% of the people and persecute them all at the same time. But he's here now. He's trying to get me and you. But we must believe that this whole body, this body of believers, there's a work for each one of you to do. I want you to get into your place, learn that position, and stay in it. Husbands, love your wives. And we go through all that as he loves the church. Because we are his wife. We're his bride. And you and I are coming to a place. Let's skip all over all that. I know 2 Peter 1 verse 3, we talk about the virtues. We're going to get back and talk about the virtues, but let's go all the way to where we were at this morning, to Galatians 3:18, which, Brother Levi, you're going to have to scroll through. It's hot up here. What's it on over there? Liar. That thing's lying. It's about 80 up here. I got sweat, and I'm not even trying. All right, let's go to Galatians 3:18. It is hot up here, though, sure enough. So now listen. We all, as human beings, we talk about inheritance. Jim just got an inheritance. If your mom or dad passes away, you get an inheritance. But remember, it has to be the death of a testator before you can get this. All right? They don't read the will while the man or woman's alive. You got to be passed on. That's why when Jesus Christ took that cup and he said, this is a cup in the New Testament in my blood. Because that testator had to die to create a New Testament. Because the Old Testament was by the law. The inheritance of the law, it is no more a promise. There wasn't a promise in the Old Testament. Read Hebrews 11. Where it says, they without us will not be made perfect, but read the scripture before that. Not having the promise. Great men. David, it names them all. Abraham, Moses, Noah, all these great men. Abel. It says, not having the promise. What is the promise? Listen, when God said in Genesis 3:15, he started in Genesis 1 and said, I'll make man in my own image. Well, that got marred, as the prophet said. There's no way that could be birth. But God said in Genesis 3:15, he said, I'll put it back together. I'll put enmity or division between you and me, but I'm going to come back as human being and I'm going to put it right back together again. Under a New Testament, because the Old Testament only puts you, what? Condemned you. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. In other words, when you start in Genesis 12 or 13, he says, I will. I will. Abraham, I will. I will give you this. I will do that. I am. I am. I am. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression till the seed could come to whom the promise was made. Us. Us. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Who's our mediator? Jesus Christ. But he wasn't that mediator in the Old Testament. Hello? It was the Father above him looking down through the blood. It was the only reason they didn't die is because there was a substitute there. Bulls and goats. But when Christ came, let's go on all the way up. Scroll on up. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God... Whoa, whoa, whoa. Levi, you're not driving a car. Okay. There you go. Listen, I appreciate these brothers doing that. I'm playing with them, but they know I appreciate them. I appreciate Brother Joe and Brother Anderson and them training them so that they don't have to be in there the whole time. They can come out here and sit and enjoy the service. Y'all don't understand what goes on back there in that room. It takes up a lot of their time, a lot of their mental time, especially if something goes wrong and 15 people start calling on the phone. You don't hear it, but they hear it back there. They get, hey, my internet's out. I can't see nothing. I can't hear nothing. But thank God they're training a lot of people in this room to be back there and to do the work so that so our brothers can rotate and sit out here and enjoy the service. Now, mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promise of God? So now look, is the law against God? No. The law was given because of transgression. The Bible tells us that Jesus came under the law. And not, he couldn't do away with the Old Testament. But he made it where we could live it. He gave us grace to where we can live the Ten Commandments. To where we can understand what Isaiah was saying, what Joshua and all these different ones were talking about. Is the law then against the promise of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness would have been by the law. In other words, if there would have been a mediator, come in the Old Testament and give his life instead of giving animal life, we wouldn't have needed it. Righteousness would have been by the law. But you can't get righteousness out of the law. But the scripture hath concluded, I like Paul's writings. All under sin. He just threw it out there. All of you. And then if he left it right there, we're all in trouble. But he didn't. Watch. That the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Thank God. That's me and you. That's right now. That's today. But before faith came, we were kept under the law. Listen, when you were born under the law. Because Jesus didn't come to bring us a new way to get born by sex. That's plain, but he didn't. Ye must be born again. And poor old Nicodemus, bless his heart, have I got to go back and get in my mama's womb? Have I got to go back and get in my mama's womb? Carnal. Jesus said, you can't understand because this is coming from above. But before faith came, we were kept under the law. Shut up until the faith which should afterwards be revealed. That's why Brother Brown, many, many times he said, faith is a revelation. Your new birth is what? A revelation. A personal revelation between you and Jesus Christ. Not between you and so-and-so and Jesus Christ. No, you and Jesus Christ. There is no mediator as the Catholic Church. See, they insert mediators. Men, human men that come in and women sometime if you're a saint, they throw them in between that you got to mediate to them and they mediate to this one and this mediates to God. No. There's one mediator. The man Christ Jesus. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. There's your schoolmaster. That we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come. In other words, after you're born again, you're not under schoolmaster. Bible. What did the schoolmaster do? Told you you were lost. But before faith came. Here's faith. Here's your new birth. Before faith, your common life was what? Under the law, shut up unto faith which shall be afterward be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. To this point. Right here. That we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we don't need the schoolmaster. It, listen, you say, oh, now we'll do away with the schoolmaster. No, the schoolmaster, what he's told you, is now inside of you. It's imprinted in you, and if you're born again, you can't have that taken away from you. So it doesn't that the schoolmaster, we have to do away with it. Paul, when he says leaving the principles of doctrine of Christ, of baptism, he don't mean leave it and not ever do it again. He means that should be already in you so much. It should be part of your DNA. Christian DNA. Amen? That you don't have to fight over that anymore. The schoolmaster brought you to a place to where you don't fight over these old things anymore. Now you gotta fight still. So that's why he gives you a tutor and a governor. As you continue on with your schooling. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. In other words, when we read Romans 8, we'll come back to this. Romans 8 said you received the spirit of adoption. Spirit of adoption. In the line of adoption. Because listen, folks. The prodigal son was a son. Y'all understand that? The prodigal son was a son. He didn't become a son when he came back. Now, in the mind of God, you always were. That's where the people get all this mixed up. In the mind of God, you always were that son. Remember, Brother Bram said, you're not become sons by the birth. But that's in God's mind, folks. I know I was lost. I know I didn't have God nowhere in my life. Because he will not live in an unclean vessel. He won't even touch uncleanness. But when faith came, when the real mind of God come to you and said, I want to birth you, if you'll just believe me, take me at my word, then it will change you. It'll change your thinking. For we are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. Why? We're all one in Christ. Heirs and joint heirs. If you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now let's go down to the next, which is this is a continuation. Now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Like I said before. Now look at that position. Boy, the son, as soon as he gets about 16 years old or whatever, he says, you gotta listen to me. You gotta listen to me. Because I'm the son. That ain't the right attitude. If it didn't humble you when God saved you, you didn't get saved. Let me say that again. If you didn't get humble and thank God for what he did for you, and that he didn't destroy you in your previous life, that ought to humble you, not make you proud. Now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, differed nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. But he's under tutors and governors. Now here we go. He's under tutors and governors now. We got a little bit higher. We're fixing to go to college now. We got out of high school. But it's under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. What time was that? Now. Now. Till that's when we needed it. See, that in the six church ages, I say seven church ages, I wasn't going to say that, but even in seven church ages, that's not the time appointed of the Father for people to come to adoption. Everybody received the spirit of adoption, crying, Father, Father. Everybody did. But only one is going to be what? Placed. That's what we're going to get to in just a minute. Placed. That's the whole deal. You got to be placed. Right bus? Right direction? Place yourself in the right seat. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. Look, to redeem them that were under the law. Redeem. Bring back. That we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, or Father, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. As I said many times before, never make yourself special. God will do that for you. God will make you special. I've heard, listen, we've been in the message long enough. I've seen people come by and they're like, we're this special. We have this special seed in us when we were born. Well, now you can quote Brother Branham. Hey, there's a verbatim quote. But what's he talking about? I've always told him, I'm going to tell you one more time. God's a just God. Judgment is passed on sons and daughters too. But it's not the great judgment. Everybody got that? But everybody is equal when they're born, or God's a respecter of persons. So if Adolf Hitler walks up to the white throne, he's going to look up and say, well, if you put something different in them than you put in me, you can't judge me. But God's going to say, no, you got it all wrong. I came to you in 1939, soul day, whatever it is, and he'll tell him exactly, I tried to get you saved. I tried to get you to believe in me and you wouldn't do it. He said, these people behind me, I'll tell you what day they got saved. That's the mind of God, folks. That's the mind of God, not what's going on down here on the earth. In the mind of God, listen, in the mind of God, this thing's finished. In the mind of God, you didn't have a regular life. Brother Brown said, if God saw your sin, he'd have to destroy you. Did that what he said? If he would have saw Adam and Eve sin, he would have had to kill them both. We always talk about him throwing Eve away, he'd have thrown Adam away too. But remember, There was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. That was grace. That was a covering for them. We're heirs of God through Christ. All right, let's go to the next. I want to read these quotes to you, and then we're finished. And I was going to read these quotes anyway. This is not coming from anything that I said before. But listen. When I read these, I want you to think about something. We're talking about placing. We're talking about a position. I'm not calling no names. No churches. Okay? Everybody understand what I'm saying? I'm just going to tell you what Brother Brown said we needed. I remember staying a year and 6 months in this book of Revelations in the tabernacle. This is on the seven church ages, 1954. This is before he preached them in 60. That's what I like in teaching. I just love teaching. Oh my, I think it's wonderful. It gives the basis and settles the church. Now, who in the world wouldn't want to be a settled church? In preaching now, there are some people that are preachers. They can pick up the word with inspiration. Levi, help me please. Thank you. They can pick up the word with inspiration. Watch. And sway it out there in places. That's watering the seed that the teacher has taught. Everybody believe Brother Brown was a prophet? Okay, then we're going to believe what he said. That's watering the seed that the teacher has taught. See, now you got to put some seed in first. Then water it. And the watering comes from the preaching of the word. There's a great vast difference between a teacher and a preacher. See, it's two different gifts of the Spirit altogether, two different gifts. And I humbly say this, but I haven't a gift of either. That's humble. That's a prophet of God standing, saying he doesn't even have both. No, he had all of them. But how humble was he? All right, let's go to adoption. Listen, just a few more, we'll be finished. Adoption, 1960. Bible teaching is usually a little treacherous. A little, kind of walking on thin ice, we call it. But we just feel that maybe at this point and this time it might be good kind of to bring the church to what I think is a complete understanding. And watch his next word. Positionally. Positionally of what we are in Jesus Christ. And sometimes I think that preaching is a wonderful thing. But I believe sometimes, Brother Beeler, that teaching goes beyond that. It kind of, especially to the church. Everybody still believe Brother Brown was a prophet? Believe what he said. Okay. Some of you don't. That's your problem. But teaching places a man positionally what he is. And we can never rightly be able to have faith until positionally we know what we are. Never rightly have faith. Everybody believe Brother Brown was a prophet? Okay. We can never rightly be able to have faith until positionally we know what we are. Everybody got that? Now let's read these next few right here. It's one long one and I'll read it, but Brother Brown explains it way better than I do. So Brother Brown, look, what we were talking about this morning a couple weeks ago. Now what is adoption? Let's get this now. I don't know whether, I won't have time to get through this, but I'll hit it. Then if there's a question, you can ask me a little later on something in the message sometime. Your adoption is not your birth. Scroll on up. So that they can see it. Your adoption is not your birth. Two different things, but you can't have one without the other. I mean, you can have a new birth without being adopted. But you can receive the spirit of adoption when you're born again. So what is it, folks? It's what we do with it. God's not going to pull you up that statue of perfect man if you don't want to go. The Holy Ghost is a gentleman. If you want to stay right here and say, well, I believe. That's what the Pentecostals did. And I'm saying this with extreme caution and extreme in my heart. When you watch most people in this message, that's what they got. They got the Holy Ghost and they shout the house down. But no teaching. He said that's where Pentecost failed, and a lot of people are just Pentecostals have moved over into the message. Nothing wrong with that, folks. They're going to be there just like me and you. But there's going to have to be a place that somebody is going to have to bring that headstone back. Amen. Not be a baby. Not be a Pentecostal baby. And you can't be a baby. You can't stay a baby and have these virtues working in your life. Your adoption is not your birth. And we'll do that. We'll pull it apart because I want to show you the two characteristics of each one. But your adoption is your placing. I'm the bus driver. Someone has taught me how to drive. I have my driver's license to drive a bus. So I know that's my position. Someone else raises their hand. I know I'm the tour guide. I didn't get my license to drive a bus. Somebody taught me how to be a guide. In other words, then you got, other than that, you got 50 people sitting on a bus and it's just sitting there. Somebody got to step up and drive a thing. Somebody got to step up and be the tour guide. When you're born again, John 1:17, I believe, when you're born again of the Spirit, you are sons of God. But look, folks, we were predestinated. Every age was predestinated. We know that for a fact. But what are we predestinated unto? Adoption. According to the scripture, we'll read it later. But we were predestinated. Now here's what I'm trying to get you to. For this sons of the last day. Not Luther, not Wesley, not Pentecost, today. To see, we were predestinated to unto adoption. Now here we are. Now this is what hurts Pentecostal a little bit. They say I got born again, praise the Lord, got the Holy Ghost. Brother Brown said, fine. But yet, that ain't what I'm talking about. See, you were predestinated into adoption. Adoption is placing a son. We'll get into that play. I want to get to the placing part. But now, let's read this real quick. And this is that big old word that Brother Dale can't pronounce. It's called bar mitzvah. Okay? It's a Jewish tradition. Bar mitzvah. Bar means son of. Remember, you are Simon Bar Jonah. He knew that Jonah was his son. He was Jonas's son, Simon Bar Jonah. All right. So bar mitzvah is son of the promise, son of, and mitzvah means promise. So what they do in that stage is they take them up at 13 or 14 years old. Whenever they're able to pass some tests. Does that sound familiar? Whenever they're able to pass some tests, not fail them, pass some tests. When they're able to pass some tests, the father says, okay, now you can read scripture you can read the Torah. Because before then, you couldn't even touch it. That thing's so sacred. They don't let kids handle the word. That's why Jesus, being who he was, under the law, he pops up at 13 years old and he's reading scripture in a temple. Because he went through his bar mitzvah. But he's fixing to go through one spiritually. On that Mount Transfiguration. He went through a bar mitzvah up there and the whole world. Whole world. Us. Saw it. So now look, when this child was born, he became a son. The very moment he was born in the family. You get it? Brother Bram's trying to get him to see it. Now there was a tutor over this boy to educate him and to raise him up. Well, he was no more than a servant, said the Galatian letter, until he came to an age, a certain limited time that he was set. And this tutor would always take the father's word. Father, take the father's word. Your son is progressing. Or whatever it was. And now that's where I'm not disagreeing, my dear brother. But here to take it from one here, take it as from one who loves you. You know he's talking to? He's talking to Pentecost. Because look, he said, there's where Pentecost failed to see this. And if the Holy Spirit, and don't get me wrong, I'm trying to, I've been battling this thing all week. We're not a special group of people, but yet we are. Okay? But let God pronounce that we're special, not you. Let God toot your horn. If you become the right son, he will, because you know what he's going to do? He's going to say, here's my son. Now, if that boy at about 12 years old, give me that Torah, walks into the sanctuary where he shouldn't be at that age, picks up the book, starts reading it, no one would listen to him because he was out of order. But there's an order to everything. When the son turned 13 years old and he was a good child, he studied, he read, he knew how to read. Then the father would take him out and say, hey, I'm placing this son in a position because he can do things now. He can read the Bible. He can do part of the things in the... Now, he couldn't do everything in the sanctuary, but he could at least go in there now. Why? But if he was not, if he was a rebellious child, if he only come to church every once in a while, see if the Holy Spirit may be not willing to give it then. Look, when you were born again of the Holy Ghost, you said, this is it, brother. And that's what he said, Pentecost. Said, this is it. That's what you see in the message. I'm sorry. Don't get me wrong. Me and you do the same thing. We like to go to meetings where there's a little bit of emotion. Right? Because we're humans and we like to feel good. But I thought I just read where teaching places you in the body. Listen, you don't know what you're shouting about unless you're positionally placed where you're supposed to be. You're just tooting a whistle like Pentecost did. They have these Pentecostal meetings where, you've been to meetings before where they're already amening the brother before he even says a word. How are they going to understand that? I told one brother one time, I said, if they ever let me do that, I'd trick every one of them. I'd start preaching some false doctrine and I'd see what they all was amening about. Because they'd just go, amen, amen, amen. Jesus is the third person of the Trinity. Yahoo, yeah, hallelujah. There's nothing wrong with a Pentecostal revival. But I would not want it all the time. I need some teaching. Because I want to be positionally placed. Listen, there's no power in Pentecost. Pentecost has lived its day. Why is he saying that right there? There's where Pentecost failed to see this. And if we keep that Pentecost here, emotion, not the Pentecost 2,000 years ago, we failed. That's why we've been here 60 years. We failed to see that there's further growth. And somebody needs to teach us that. Look, when you were born again of the Holy Ghost, you said, this is it, brother. It was. You was a child. Everybody still, Brother Barron was a prophet, right? Everybody? Okay. All right. You was just as much child as you ever could be. You were born in the family, but yet the tutor, which is the Holy Ghost, has watched over the church as it's been maturing. All right, keep going. Now, if this tutor in the natural went to the father and said, now, that boy's not going to be very good. I tried to teach him, and he just won't listen. He's got his own headstrong way. Boy, did that hit us all? And he just won't listen. He's going to be this. Or he's going to be that. The father realizes right then that that boy cannot take over his domain. I didn't make him not a son. God can't give you the Holy Ghost and then take it back. Not an Indian giver. But he can give you the Holy Ghost. And I love what the prophet said. The prophet said the Holy Ghost is a timid person. A gentleman. A gentleman. If you don't want to go do this, he's not going to make you do it. If you don't want to go and get some more virtue and get some more knowledge and get some more temperance, it's your choice. The father realizes right then that that boy cannot take over his domain. That's right. Because what would he do? He'd run it through. Look, the return of the prodigal son gives a very beautiful picture of it. What did he do? He went out in the world and did what? Squandered his wealth. Right? See, he could not... What he would do would be mortgage the farm or sell it off and drink it up and run around. Now, in the spiritual sense, after we were born again in Christ, we become children of God. But then, see, God knows best. Now, here's what I say reverently, disagreeing with the latter rain, brethren. You think I'm persecuting You think I'm persecuting church? No, my dear brother, and neither am I. Everybody has their place, but there's got to be a place, folks, where God can speak through us, just like he spoke through his son. And you can't do that being a baby. Jesus Christ was not a baby when he was transfigured on that mountain. He was a 30-year-old man that had been through all his life. Now, this boy, after he got a certain age, he had to be adopted into that same family he was born into. Any minister knows that's the placing of a son. He had to be adopted into the family that he was born into. Could you imagine that? But that's the Old Testament teaching. Paul's referring to it here in Ephesians, the church of Ephesus. Now, the thing of it is, brother, we have tried to make each one here and each one this and each one laying on of hands and separating or getting setting apart. We've made that. But God has to do that. The only one can do it. Now, when the father became aware that this boy was not worthy, he never disowned him. Are you with me? Just a few minutes. He never disowned him. He was still his boy. But he couldn't put confidence in him. He was too carried away about all kinds of winds of doctrine. Everybody believe Brother Brown was a prophet? Okay. Believe what he said? Okay. I'm not being redundant like that. I'm just going to make sure that you understand that this is what the prophet of God is saying. I'm not making this up. That's what the scripture says. Be not carried about by every wind of doctrine. Be stable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for so much as you know your works is not in vain. Quickly, wish we could stay on that a while. But notice, let's get on to, this is a long quote, but it'll finish in a minute. This father then, the day come when this boy, maybe he'd been all right. And he was a worthy man. He listened to the father. He took instructions. Hello, take instructions from your daddy. He listened to instructions. He was a good boy. Then the father, the son didn't just jump up and say, I'm ready to be adopted, daddy. Take me out there. Bless God, I can do it. You'll fail. But if the father ever takes you out there, he took instructions. The father taking him out to a public street. Put special clothes on him. And then the father, what clothes is it? Faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. Then the father had a ceremony and adopted this son into the family. Paul saying here, having predestinated us into the adoption, see, unto the adoption. Moses was a prefigure of it. And when this son, after he came out there, he was given, no longer was he just a servant under a tutor. He was the boss. He was the boss. I hope that soaks real deep. He was the boss, but what kind of boss was he? Did he rule with a rod of iron? Or did he rule with wisdom? Did he rule with patience, virtue, knowledge, temperance, godliness, brotherly kindness? That makes you a real son. It's when these virtues can be lived in your life. And the world can see it. That quote before that, the world, God just takes him out and says, look, he took William Branham out there in Arizona. May I go there? We believe Brother Brown was adopted, don't we? That's the only reason he could preach the seals, because it wasn't Brother Brown preaching the seals, it was God preaching them. Amen? Took him out there and showed the whole world. If y'all never seen that, Brother Joe, I think he put it on our website, where that brother, can't remember his last name, up in, at Brother Luke Gibson's church, that scientifically proved, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that cloud could not be man-made. You could not realize how many hundreds of millions of gallons of water that a vapor from a rocket would have to produce to make a cloud 26 miles and 30-something miles high. Ever have 26 miles high, 30-something miles long? How many millions and hundreds of millions of gallons of water vapor? Because that's what that is. A cloud is water vapor. And he proves it scientifically. There's no way a rocket made it. It'd be like us trying to prove that we blew up that we blew up the state capitol with a firecracker. Humanly impossible. But God placed his son and said, hear ye him. This was the second part of his message, people. Not the first part. Not in the years of preparation. What? He's trying to get Pentecost to get out of Pentecost. Hello? Trying to get them out. Then he wanted to place us. Then he began to preach his message. Then he began to preach the seals. Because the seals places you. What else does? The seals places you in the body. Tells you who you are, what you're doing here, and where you're going. That which was, which is, and is to come. Brother Brown said that's what the seal showed. Seal shows what was, what is, and what is to come. Amen? You love the Lord? Listen. Just like everything in the world, musicians come. It's not for everybody. It's not for everybody. But I want you to say it's for you. I want you to decide it's for you. Because you know what? I believe that's what a teacher does. A teacher simplifies. Hello, somebody. Yeah. Anna, my sister, simplifies it so a kindergartner can understand. Wait a minute, you got calculus. Unknown numbers. Binary numbers. A plus B is C. All this stuff. That's no more than 1 plus 1 is 2, if it's taught right. I understood calculus, because I was a math major. I understood calculus as much as I did my ABCs and 1, 2, 3s. 1 plus 1 equals 2. 2 plus 2 equals what? 4. But there's, what am I saying? There's a basis that you and I got to come to, and that's the new birth. Let's stand our feet. We got to come to the new birth. Know you got it. Know that you know. And then what? Have I told you since the beginning of this series, whatever you got, folks, please let it out. Let it do what it's supposed to do. Open up and let the butterfly out. Has anybody ever seen those cicadas or whatever they are? They stuck on the side of a tree and there's nothing but a shell there. And there's a crack down the back of it. And all of a sudden you look up in the in the flowers, and what's there? Pretty butterfly. That butterfly came from that ugly thing that's hanging on the tree. That ugly thing was me and you hanging on the tree. But you know what? There was a man went and hung on the tree for us. So that he could do what? Release his butterfly. And his butterfly could come into you, and you can make a butterfly. And you can make a butterfly. And everybody could, hey, seed life comes through the body, folks. There's no way you can get it outside of listening to the message of the hour. I mean the message of the hour. I mean the message of the hour. I ain't meaning just the message. The message of the hour begins with you must be born again, but it does not stay right there. You've got to come to maturity. Just like you've got children that you want to see them mature. And you have to give them a little protoplasmic stimulation every once in a while to get them right back in line. So does God have to do us the same thing. But like I said before, do we take it as a learning experience, or do we take it and get mad at him? It's all in how you take it. Let's sing a song.
Amen. I'll fly away.
God bless you. We love you with the love of the Lord. Remember all these announcements. If you have a need, we need to really pray for the ones that are sick. Pray that they'll get back next weekend and be with us, and this thing won't go around again and again and again and again. Okay? Only believe. All things are possible.
Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'm gonna fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'm gonna fly away. Oh,
listen, you gotta know where you're flying. Safely. That's the same way with me and you. Trust the people that are taking you where you're going.
Like a bird from prison bars has flown, I'll fly away. Oh, I'll fly away.
Lord, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that whatever situation this is put on, Lord, that it will take care of, Lord. And the Lord, it will be a testimony, another one and another testimony of what's going on, Lord. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
I'm going to fly away to a land where joy will never end.
I'm singing to him. I'm going to fly away. Dispensation when that man that wrote that song, that's all he knew. He wrote exactly what God gave him inspiration to write, whoever that was. Right? That's all he knew. Be a Christian, and one day I'm going to fly away. But I'm going to have to die. Right? You hear all those songs that has death in it. When this weary life is over. But we've had an updated revelation. We can sing, I can't die. I'll be raptured by and by. We're not changing the man. He had a good revelation of his time, but what about now? Like I said before, what about this time? This is the time. This is the manifestation of the sons of God. These are the sons of God and daughters of God that's going to be in position, and you're going to see things happen that you've never seen before. Pray to God to help you get in your position. Amen. Pray to God that you get in your position. All right. All minds clear. We'll be Wednesday night. Brother Bob will be preaching. Brother Richard Hyde will be here with us this weekend coming up. So you just pray that God will be with us. Be with Brother Dale, the different ones. Be with the new baby and the mama and all these that are sick with COVID, that they'll be done and finished and be back here on Sunday. So we ask you to just be with Mary Kamani has a special unspoken request. We're going to pray over some prayer cloths and then we're going to give them to her. So you just pray. You stay back there. It's okay. I'll bring them to you. You don't have to come up here. You know, that's another thing. I was just reading a quote. Well, Brother Brown was talking about it. He said altar calls were never in the Bible. He said some of that was prostrating before an idol. You bow down, get down before an idol. But we're okay for you to come up here. But the Gentile way never was that. The Gentile way was, you just say it, I believe who's talking, and it'll come to pass. That's what God's looking for. He's looking for a bride that'll take him by his word, always by his word, and not have to have a feeling or an emotion or even touching. Yes. I'm just telling you, Brother Branham said altar calls were not even in the Bible. Prayer lines were not in the Bible. The centurion said, I have authority. Position. I have position, and I realize that he might not even know Jesus' name. He said, but I realize there's something different about you. And you have a power over the demons. I have a power over 100 people. I tell them to go, they go. I tell them to come, they come. He said, I believe you got the same. What was he telling him? He was testifying that that man was going, whatever he spoke, the devil was going to have to flee from it. Yes. Now, why can't we be the same way? That centurion, he was a Gentile. He was a Roman that probably, Lord, he was a heathen. But he realized that man had authority. When are we going to realize that God give us that same authority? Amen. To not have to lay hands, that we can just speak the word, and then while the word was spoke, over there, ever how many miles away, that kid was healed. I love laying on hands, that's okay. Prayer lines are okay. But that's not going to get us out of here. Speaking the word's going to get us out of here. And speaking it right at the right time, at the right day, the right hour. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Pray that what we've said has been pleasing to you, Lord. We love this group of people. Lord, we pray that you'd just raise us all up, Lord, up the statue of perfect man. Growth. Where that we won't be babies and run around and have to be patted all over the place, Lord, and powdered and baby fed. That we'll take the word of God, Lord, and take the sword and stick it to the heart of the devil. And do it with a mighty hand and not with something, Lord, that we don't know what to deal with. Lord, we know what that sword is. You told the prophet. When that sword came down in his hand, it just makes me rejoice when the prophet said, it fit my hand perfectly. See, it wasn't a sword for anybody else. It was a sword for him. And Lord, we've got to have a sword in the hand experience. Where our hands are raised, Lord, and one day you'll put a word in our hand, Lord, that we'll get out of this place and the dead in Christ shall rise. Lord, I expect that to happen because the word said it would happen. And I pray, Lord, that we will come to that place quickly, Lord, so that we can get out of here, Lord. Father, forgive us of our sins. Be with us on the highways. Bless the ones that are sick. Be with each one as we come back together Wednesday night to hear Brother Bob. Lord, we pray that you give the words of eternal life, Lord, to him so that we can hear. And Father, bless the ones that are on the outside, Lord, listening in or watching in. We pray that you'd be with them. We pray that you'd take this next coming weekend up, Saturday, Lord, and help the guys. They've got plenty of mental knowledge of what they're going to do. But, Lord, in all that, we still could make a mistake. But, Father, with you leading and guiding, we won't make a mistake. And everything will work for your honor and glory. Thank you for the brothers and sisters. Thank you for all the people that work in this church, the deacons, the elders, all the ones that have the position, Lord, the preachers here, Lord, the song leaders, the musicians, Lord. I pray that we're all doing it for you, Lord, and not doing it for ourselves. Pray, Lord, you be with us now as we go. Take care of each one. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless you.